This is Real Estate Rookie episode 239.
It's easy to be busy, but it's harder to be productive. And in order to be productive, you need to make sure that the activities, that the busyness you have is in pursuit of a bigger goal. But if you're just doing a bunch of things that may or may not be tied to this goal that you have around your business, around your life, then you're just busy. You're not being productive. In order to be productive, it has to be in pursuit of that thing that you want. And that was a big realization that I had this year. So, man, I love that definition of having a plan versus just kind of dreaming.
My name is Ashley Kerr, and I am here with my co-host, Tony Robinson.
And welcome to the Real Estate Rookie Podcast, where every week, twice a week, we bring you the inspiration, information, and stories you need to hear to kickstart your investing journey. And I want to start off today's episode by shouting out someone in our rookie audience. They go by the username Mighty Pole, and they left us a review on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star review, and it says, "Such great information, listening every week and most times on repeat. I work as a medic, and now in my downtime, I can focus on researching rental properties. I started listening in July of 2022, and I'm about to close on my first long-term property that already cash flows $250 per month after all expenses. In the process of researching for my first short-term rental, couldn't have done it without you guys. This is going to change my family's life. Thank you so much." Man, Mighty Pole, that is amazing. And congratulations to you on starting in July. And we're in October, or I guess November now, is this recording. And you've already got your first property looking on your second, man. So congratulations. That is amazing. If you haven't yet, leave us an honest rating and review on whatever podcast platform it is you're listening to. The more folks we reach, the more folks we can help. All right. So Ashley Kerr, what's up? How are you doing today?
Good. I'm excited for today's episode. It's just me and Tony today, one-on-one. And we're going to be talking about goal setting and what happened in 2022. What were our goals? Where did we succeed? Where did we learn? What were the lessons? And how are we going to change our goals for 2023? Are we going to be pivoting? And we'll talk a little bit about the reason for goal setting and what a goal is and how to create a SMART goal. So, Tony, do you have your goals ready?
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right. Get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
Are current interest rates making you depressed about cash flow? What if it didn't have to be that way? Rent to Retirement has 2.99% seller financing available on turnkey properties. You heard that right. That's a seller-financed 2.99% interest rate where the average cash flow is over $900 per month. They also have options where you can put as low as 5% down on multiple investment properties with no PMI. Rent to Retirement is the nation's leading turnkey investment company that understands what it takes to be successful in today's dynamic real estate market. Their reputation speaks for itself with more 5-star reviews than any other company on the BiggerPockets website. Rent to Retirement offers fully turnkey properties that are newly built or renovated, leased and managed, allowing you to invest with confidence in the markets that offer the best returns. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. Again, text REI to 33777. We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, RentReady, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a complete breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, RentReady now offers
Proof of income verification. So Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability and earnings. With Plaid certified tenant income and asset reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. It's time to say goodbye to that whole gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. Now, Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at Bigger Pockets. If you're not a pro, they're offering the 6-month plan for only $1. Visit rentready.com. That's RENTREDI.com and use the code BP Investor. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, Investor for 6 months of Rent Ready for only $1.
I do. And I'm excited to get into this conversation as well. You know, I think so many people in real estate investing, and rightfully so, but they focus on the mechanics of being a real estate investor, but they don't focus on the foundational pieces, which is literally their own mindset, their own, you know, just like how they're positioning themselves mentally to kind of action all those things that they're learning. So being able to take the time to kind of focus on what the goals are and how you can kind of start pursuing those things that are important to you is a step that I think a lot of people miss. They just start listening to the podcasts or reading the books or watching the YouTube channel, but with no real clear picture around what it is that they're working towards. And, you know, this is, you know, we can kind of get into 2022, but one of the big realizations that I had this year is that I was building a business that wasn't necessarily in support of the life that I wanted for myself. We had been scaling so fast that we almost had no time. And, you know, I'm chuckling because Eric, before this call, he was like, "Hey, I sent you guys an email. Did you guys get it?" I was like, "Yeah, I read it." And I was like, "I have no idea what email you're talking about," right? Because I'm so backed up on everything. And when I think about how my business has started to overtake certain parts of my life, it's kind of making me pause and say, okay, wait, the reason why I wanted to pursue entrepreneurship was because I wanted to be in control. And right now it feels like my business is in control of me and not me in control of my business. So, anyway, the reason I say that is because if you don't have those conversations with yourself early on, right, when you're at the beginning phases of your business, you can end up in a situation where you've built this business that is almost taking away from the life that you wanted and not necessarily supporting the life that you always wanted to live.
Yeah, I think that's actually one thing that I'm pretty good at is making sure that I don't get overwhelmed to a sense where I don't have the time. Like, I will definitely procrastinate things. I will take on too much, but I do know certain times to say no and to not do it. I've definitely missed a lot of deadlines. I've definitely been behind on things for sure, but I've been very careful as to how I'm scaling because I know for sure that I don't want to work 24/7. I know that. Like, I love working. I really do. But if I'm forced to work for many hours a day and to just grind nonstop, I did that as a property manager and I hated it. And that's why I wanted to build my own rentals, because there's lots of flexibility as to how you can outsource them, what you can choose to do. And I want to be spontaneous and I want to be able to choose what I want to work on. And one of the things I love to do is build a business and then just hand it off to somebody else to kind of take over. And for the other investor that I've worked for a lot, I've done that for him multiple businesses. And that's like my favorite thing. I build it up and then I give it to somebody else. So I want to be able to do more of that too, even for myself. So but before, Tony, before we even get into talking about last year or this year's goals, let's talk about what a goal is. So I love this example from Tarl Yarber. I was on a webinar with him once and he said this, and I repeat it constantly to people, where if you have this dream of building this beautiful house, you imagine the white cabinets, the granite countertop, the walk-in closet with custom shelving and drawers. You have this vision in your head. Are you going to go and hire a home builder that has a dream of building your home? He wants to do it. It's a dream. Or are you going to hire a builder that has a plan? He has drawings, he has contractors, he has a timeline of when it's going to be completed, he has a budget built out for you. So I think, like, look at that as an example right there. If you want to build that home, you're going to go after the builder that has the plan, not the dream, right? To build your home. So if you have a goal, if you have something that you want, you have to figure out a plan to actually get you there. Because if not, that goal is just a dream. If you don't take the time to implement these steps and take these action items to actually get to that destination you desire, whatever that may be.
And I also think, and at first I love that example, and Taro is such a smart guy. I was actually chatting with him last week for a little bit. And like every time I talk to him, I like learn something new about real estate or business or whatever it is. He's such a smart guy. But I think what you said, Ashley, about a dream versus a plan ties back into the issue that I was having around. It's like, if you don't have a clear, I guess, let me say it this way. It's easy to be busy, but it's harder to be productive. And in order to be productive, you need to make sure that the activities, that the busyness you have is in pursuit of a bigger goal. But if you're just doing a bunch of things that may or may not be tied to this goal that you have around your business, around your life, then you're just busy. You're not being productive. In order to be productive, it has to be in pursuit of that thing that you want. And that was a big realization that I had this year. So, man, I love that definition of having a plan versus just kind of dreaming.
Okay. So as you guys are figuring out what you want in life, and this can be, you know, you want this dream car, you want that dream house, you want a certain amount of money that's coming in each month, maybe passively, so you can go and do whatever you want. You want to travel, you want some sort of lifestyle. You want to get married on, you know, in Mexico, this dream destination, whatever that goal is, or maybe it's not even like something as an experience or an object. It's more of just, I want to be the number one home flipper in Buffalo, New York, or whatever that is. And I want to have the largest volume of sales as the real estate agent is in my area. Things like that. And I think it's really important to not keep it all business and career oriented. It makes you have a personal goal in there too. And I love it when people actually do a family goal. So you figure out something for your family. Like, what does your family as a whole want to do by the end of the year? And maybe that's a vacation, or, you know, maybe that's some kind of experience that your family wants to have together. Or maybe it's just every Sunday for this whole year, we want to sit down at the table and have dinner together. Something as little as that, but having that career business goal, your personal goal, and then even a family goal too.
Yeah, I've heard it. First, I totally agree, Ashley, that I think oftentimes people focus maybe too much on just like the money goals that they have. But it was actually Brandon Turner that had me kind of do a deep dive around like the wheel of life. And it's your health, it's your, you know, like your faith or spirituality, it's your family, it's your finances, it's your business, and there is one other one that I'm thinking of. But anyway, it's like this holistic kind of view of your life. Now, I do think at times it can get challenging to try and tackle all of those categories at one time, right? To have like one massive goal in every single category. And I think what might be more impactful is, what is the area that you feel needs the most attention and that will have the most impact, right? And maybe for some people coming into 2023, it's fitness, right? And, you know, maybe for someone else, it's family, right? They want to reinvest more time back into their family. But I do think having that holistic view and making sure that all of your goals aren't just focused on your real estate business will definitely help you in the long run as well.
And having that, reaching that goal and building that strength in one category is just going to go and help you achieve those other categories or be better at them. So like, think of how you mentioned a fitness goal. If you go and start working out, you know, 5 times a week at the gym every morning, you're going to feel better about yourself. You're going to have more energy people probably may even respond differently to you. Just, I mean, Tony, look at all the attention you got when you did your bodybuilding competition. and it's not even about attention, but it's like people that, you know, maybe didn't even know what real estate investing was about, but they saw Tony doing these bodybuilding competitions and, you know, doing his wife Sarah posting his poses and flexing and started following because of that. And they're like, oh, wait, short-term rentals, what's this? I want to learn more. And So it could have brought value in so many different ways by having that goal, by going to that bodybuilding competition. But yeah, so I think they kind of all play a role in assisting each other.
Let me ask you your opinion, Ashley. When you think about goal setting, do you believe in setting like the BHAGs, the big hairy audacious goals, maybe these like moonshot type things that you know people probably think you're crazy for saying out loud? Or are you more on the side of where, hey, I want to set like a super reasonable goal that I know I can hit? Where do you tend to fall on that spectrum?
I'm setting a goal for the week. Like I have a very, very hard time seeing 5 years, 10 years down the road. I'm not that type of visionary. I can see a vision, but not very far down the road. And that's where I always struggle, is because I don't know what I want down the road, I guess. Like I can picture what I want the next month, the next year, how I want things to be. But as far as like down the road, so I think that really hurts me, setting these big goals, is because I can't picture that vision. And that's actually, I was just having this conversation with Daryl the other week. He is such a great visionary, where he actually can talk all day long about what this property that we're building out as the compound is going to be like. And he just sees this vision. And I'm like, wait, okay, yeah, that's awesome. Like, that sounds great. But like, we have to do this week on the property. And I can't like see past it. And I think part of it is I don't want to get my hopes up. And I feel like that really kind of hurts me, as a detriment to me. And I think about it when I was younger. And we would be going to Disney World, or we'd be going on a vacation, or it'd be like my birthday or Christmas coming up. And I would be so excited. I could not stand it. So I started training myself to like not think about it, not like get my hopes up, because I couldn't stand that excitement. And I would wait until like the morning of or the day of, and I would just let it all burst out. So I that's definitely been something that has really like made it hard for me to set goals in the future, is because it's hard for me to get excited about something so far away, I guess.
That's, you know, that's such an interesting dynamic, Ashley, because I feel like I'm almost the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Where I am so focused on 5 years from now, 10 years from now, a year from now, that sometimes I have a hard time focusing about today. You know, it's like today is so boring to me, because the possibility, the opportunities are all tomorrow. And that's where I need the people on my team. Obviously Sarah's my wife and our business partners to kind of help ground me in reality. But just like for as long as I can remember, and like you went back to your childhood, and I think back to mine as well. Like one of the first businesses that I started was a car washing business over the summer. And over the summer, I would like wash my neighbor's cars. And I vividly remember, Ashley, telling myself, and I had like an Excel sheet open on my dad's laptop. And I said, okay, if I'm washing one car a day and I'm charging this much, this is how much I'll make. If I can hire five other kids to wash cars for me, this is how much I'll be making. And if I can hire 30 kids, this is how much I'll be making. Like my mind just always goes to the extreme. And it's always been the same way for everything that I do. So like when we talk about our real estate business, cool, yeah, what we're doing today is awesome. But I always find so much more thrill out of like thinking, what can we do 5 years from now?
See, like I can do it with numbers. So when I paid off like our personal debt, so we had a HELOC, we had farm equipment, and then we had our two vehicles. Okay. That was the debt I wanted to get done. That would be all of our personal debt. And I had my Excel spreadsheet, and I would just track in the same thing. I would think about, okay, if I came up with this much more money a month, how much did I pay off? So like number wise, I can play with numbers all day long. And, you know, that's where, you know, the lady in the street, but freaky in the spreadsheet comes in. Like that gets me excited looking at it that way. But for me to, for it to not be a numbers goal or monetary goal, then I can't just like picture that, like, oh, I want my life to look like this.
Like, why is it, you know, or I guess maybe not, why do you think that is, but is there a way, Ashley, for you to maybe take some of these other goals and reframe them or rephrase them in a way that is more like how you pay down your debt? Like, have you thought through that?
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's like something that I'm working on for this next year as to do it. And, but yeah, I've definitely thought about that a lot. It's like, how I was so motivated to do that. And that just like pushed me so much. And I'm definitely somebody like set it and forget it. So like I have to have this goal in front of me all the time to actually go forward and try to achieve it.
Yeah. So I guess just like one piece of advice for our rookies that are listening, you know, when you start thinking about your goals for next year, I would encourage you guys to pick a goal that is a little scary, right? If you say the goal and you don't second guess your ability to achieve it, I would assume that it's probably too small of a goal. You wanna say the goal and like you get a little bit of chills because you're like, I don't know if I can actually do that. I don't know if I can actually make it happen. Because here's what's gonna happen is you're going to start reframing your mind to say, okay, that goal seems big, that goal seems scary, but if I were to achieve it, what kind of things would I need to start doing? Who would I need to meet? What kind of things would I need to learn? And you'll start training your mind to think just a little bit bigger, just a little bit bigger. And if you do that over and over and over again, like your capacity for dreaming big will dramatically increase.
So one thing that we have also learned from Brandon Turner is this is probably 4 years ago now, maybe. And you know what's so funny is I found a screenshot of this on my phone the other day, and it was Brandon's Instagram story, and it was him in front of this huge framed fake newspaper article where he wrote this article of what his business was going to be in 5 years, I think it was. And he ended up doing it in 2 years, I think, whatever that was. So Brandon did this based off of the book Vivid Vision by Cameron Harold. And this book talks about writing out what you see for the future, for your business, for yourself, in like detail. Like it's almost like a story when you're reading it. And so Brandon had done this and he went through and implemented and did way beyond what he had even written in this article. So Brandon talks about a lot is doing SMART goals. And this is all part of his intention journal. You guys can get it at the Bigger Pockets bookstore and use code Ashley for 10% off. But with the intention journal, he talks about SMART goals and then also MINS, your most important next step. So a SMART goal is something that is specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time oriented. So when you are setting your goal, you should have these five things be a part of what that goal is. So an example would be, I am going to run 2 miles every day for the next 3 months. Okay. That's attainable. It's measurable. It's 2 miles. It's time oriented. It's for a certain amount of months and it's specific. I'm going to be running. So setting your goal using the SMART things is just, it gives you an extra layer of success, I guess. It's more achievable because you are implementing it this way. Where if you just said, I'm going to run, that's my goal. I want to run. Okay. That you're most likely, you can't measure how well you're doing. I mean, you could run from your couch to your bed and say that you check marked, you did your action item for the day. And then there's MINS, the most important next step, which is what are things you're going to do to be able to make sure that you're doing those 2 miles every day. So the first thing is maybe you're time blocking. Every Sunday night, you're sitting down and time blocking when you're going to be doing your run every single day, something like that.
Yeah, Ashley, just to piggyback off of that, before I became a full-time real estate investor, I worked in supply chain, and supply chain is all about productivity. And in the world of productivity, there are these phrases called lead measures and lag measures. So LAG, lag, and then lead measures. And I love to apply the idea of lead and lag measures to everyday life, because it is a fantastic way to make sure that you're continually making progress in the achievement of your goals. So I love to give the example of losing weight, because it's the best way to kind of explain this difference between lead and lag measures. So if your goal is to lose 20 pounds next year, that would be your lag measure. Okay, that is the metric that you take note of at the end of the year. But however, there are actions that go into or that support your goal of losing 20 pounds. So when I was training for my competition, I've shared this before, I wasn't necessarily tracking my weight or how much I could bench press or any of these other things. What I was tracking on a daily basis were the lead measures or the lead activities that would get me toward my lag goal of winning at this competition. So the things I was tracking on a daily basis was I doing cardio twice a day, right? Fasted cardio and then post-workout cardio. Was I eating all of my meals on time and not cheating and, you know, sneaking a cookie here or there? Was I drinking a gallon and a half of water every day? Was I taking creatine and BCCAs 2 times a day, right? And these were the things that I was tracking. And I said, if I can do my cardio, drink my water, weightlift, take my supplements, and I do that consistently, then I know as long as I stick to that plan, eventually I'm going to get to my lag goal of winning that competition. And that's exactly what happened. So when you think about your real estate business, if your goal is to purchase that first property, you need to start working backwards and identify what are the lead measures that I can track on a daily basis that will move me closer towards that goal of getting that first investment property. So the investment property is a lag. Good lead measures would be something like, I want to analyze 20 deals a week. I want to submit at least one offer every week. I want to meet at least one wholesaler every month. I want to attend one real estate meetup every month. And just start to think of the different activities that would, if you do those consistently, will almost guarantee your success in that field. So, you know, I know it's easy just to have that big goal at the end, but also think about what are those things you should be doing on a daily basis and how can you track those?
This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, Rent Ready, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a complete breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, Rent Ready now offers proof of income verification. So Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability and earnings. With Plaid certified tenant income and asset reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. It's time to say goodbye to that whole gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. Now, Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at Bigger Pockets. If you're not a pro, they're offering the 6-month plan for only $1. Visit rentready.com. That's RENTREDI.com and use the code BP Investor. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, Investor for 6 months of Rent Ready for only $1.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Tony, do you want to kind of, take that great explanation of an example and lead into what some of your other 2022 goals were besides your fitness goals?
Yeah, no, I'm excited to do that. So that was actually one of my personal goals and I actually wrote, I want to get in the best shape of my life. Like that was the goal that I wrote down, and the competition was one way to get me there. But on the business side, I'm going to share a couple that I missed and a couple that we actually achieved. So first, one of our big goals was that we wanted to get to 40 Airbnb listings, 40 owned Airbnb listings. We're going to come up just shy of that number. I think we're going to miss it by like 6 or 7. We got a couple more properties coming online here right at the end, but we're going to be just shy of getting to 40 there. Was it a bad thing? Not necessarily. I think 40 was a bit of a stretch for us. I think we started the year at 12 properties. So getting to 40 was going to be a big lift for us. But I mean, we've purchased almost 2 properties a year this year. So we still made really tremendous progress. Another goal that we failed at this year was buying a hotel. I was very open with you guys that we were pursuing a hotel over the summer, ended up getting beat out by another buyer. And it was a really tough pill for us to swallow, but a lot of lessons learned there that we're going to apply to next year's goal. So those are 2 things we missed out on. 2 goals we actually did achieve were both around like hiring and people. So we had a goal to hire a finance manager. We actually just hired that person. She's actually a bookkeeper, but she's like a bookkeeper on steroids. And she's really good friends with our CPA. So they've got a really good working relationship together. And she's just doing like a really phenomenal job around helping us get our financial picture in order for next year. And then the other goal that we had around people was hiring an operations manager to kind of help with the day-to-day management of all of our properties. So we did that, and we hired 3 virtual assistants to support her. So now we've got a team of 4 that runs the majority of our day-to-day operations. And those 2 hires have been super, super critical and helpful and just like taking away some of that stress that I talked about earlier around the business taking up so much of my time. And specifically, those goals are put in place with the idea that we don't want this to be an 80-hour a week job for us forever. So those are my goals. 2 that we missed, 2 that we were able to make happen. What about for you, Ashley?
Yeah, so I have some that are along the same line. So one thing was that I really wanted to take on a new business partner in 2022. Like I wanted to have somebody take half of my workload or at least take a part of the business over, but I didn't want to hire someone for this role. I wanted somebody who was going to be so motivated by it because they have equity into the deals. They're going to learn along with me. I really enjoy like working alongside somebody, but there's always that employee boss kind of, I guess, scenario. And I wanted to give equity to somebody who was going to be committed to the job and that they were going to, I guess, not learn what we were doing and then just leave and go do it on their own because they're already doing it with me. So I found that person and they became my business partner. We started buying, getting stuff into the under contract last year. And then we ended up closing winter and spring of 2022 on the properties that we purchased together. So part of my goal was that I didn't want to do any more hands-on rehab. And I also wanted to, you know, outsource all of the rehab, and I didn't want to manage the contractors. And I wanted to talk to as little people as possible. So that I reached that goal. My business partner handles all of that. He does that whole side of things for me. Okay. My next one was for him to be able to come on full time. So he used to work construction in the bricklayers union. So he was laid off in the winter. So that's kind of where we went through this trial period. And it was like, okay, are the properties that we're going to purchase, the asset management I do, is there going to be enough work for me to put on to him where he can have an income that's going to replace his bricklayer's union job? So luckily, he lives very below his means, and he also is a veteran, so he doesn't need health insurance supplied to him. And we were able to make that happen where he was able to quit his job. I think it was in April before when he got that call that they were going to call him back to work, and he was able to say that he's not coming back to work. So one thing that I'm way better at is if something is for somebody else, I'm way more likely to achieve it than if it's just a monetary goal for myself too. So us like pushing forward for him to like have this life-changing event happen, that motivated me more than being like, oh, I have this much money now in my bank account or anything like that. So that was really exciting. So who wants to do that with me this year? Take on another partner, we'll do it again with somebody else. But but the goal that I did fail on actually, and I pivoted towards focusing on this a lot. So I like to stay steady and keep my foundation of doing BRRRs. But also I really wanted to buy a campground, and I ended up getting one under contract. And we had our earnest money deposit, and we had quite a while actually to do our due diligence on it. And we ended up backing out at the last minute because you could not get title insurance on the property because it was a foreclosure and all these things had happened. So, and we were going to raise the money for it. Nobody wants to invest in a property that you can't get title insurance on it. So we did not get that campground. We got a second one where we received a letter of intent signed. We still have not received the executed contract back signed. We keep getting red line changed from our attorney and then, or from his attorney and then back to our attorney. So I don't know if the deal will go through. If we will actually have we definitely won't close by the end of the year, but if we will be able to have an executed contract. But just like something that has come up that we've had to pivot is that we did this LOI with him back in the spring. Interest rates were a lot different then. So we actually put into our LOI that if the interest rate on our bank financing went above 7%, like the deal was contingent on that. Like our interest rate had to be below 7%. So right now it's like kind of hindering right there. If when we get this executed contract, if our interest rate is going to actually be above or below 7% too. So that's something we've been trying to work with is how do we go and renegotiate if that is the case, because it's definitely going to change our cash flow a lot, the higher the interest rate, and do we need to decrease our price now? Things like that. So maybe reach that goal in 2023 with this campground, but we'll see.
I can fail it, Ash. We're both going to get it. You're going to get your campground. I'm going to get my hotel. I'm manifesting that for 2023. So I just want to talk a little bit about our 2022 stuff. Go a little bit deeper before we move on to next year. About how what were the steps that went into I guess kind of coming up with those goals and how we actually executed on those. So for me, I'm going to talk about my operations team, because that was the one that I think had the biggest impact on us this year. When I talk about why that goal was important to me, again, it goes back to the fact that I know that I want to continue to scale, but I also know that I don't have the bandwidth to manage, 40, 50, 100 different properties. And our long-term goal is to own $1 billion worth of real estate with our company. And obviously, if we want to get that big, me, Sarah, and Omid, as the three amigos, can't possibly manage that. So we knew that we need to start putting the people in place to absorb that kind of growth. And we got really, really lucky finding our team. Our operations manager, her name's Kellen, she actually attended one of our events. The first event that we threw, our first short-term rental ride-along we did back in March, she attended that event. She actually attended the Bigger Pockets SDR bootcamp that I hosted earlier this year. So I knew her. I knew she was eager to learn. She had her first short-term rental herself. And I knew she was looking for new job opportunities. She wasn't necessarily happy where she was at. And we approached with this opportunity. She said yes. And it was amazing. So we had this idea of who we wanted to hire, and then we kind of stumbled upon the perfect person. But before I even reached out to Kellen with this job opportunity, earlier in the year, Sarah, Omid, and I all sat down together and we created an org chart for our business. And we identified all of the different positions that needed to exist within this business. And at the time, it was all of our names plugged into those slots on the org chart. And I went through and I actually created a job description for every single one of those positions. But remember, it was all of us doing all the work. But as we started to reach out to people to step into some of these roles, I was able to share the job description with them. And then they already knew kind of what the expectation was. And I would take my name off of the org chart, or Omi's name off of the org chart, or Sarah's name off of the org chart, and replace it with the person that we hired. So we did that, I think, three times throughout the year. We hired an acquisitions person, an operations manager, and then all of our virtual assistants, and our bookkeeper, and our finance manager, actually a few times last year. But that was a process we followed to try and find the right person.
I guess I can kind of go into the campground one as to the steps that we took to get these campgrounds under contract. Is first we let brokers know that we were looking for a campground. I've talked about it on the podcast constantly. Any event I was at, I talked about it. And we actually got a ton of campgrounds sent to us. And that's where we were like, oh, we really need to like define our criteria, because this is going to be overwhelming analyzing all of these campground deals that are coming in. So that was kind of our next step. And that wasn't even, you know, part of the plan. We didn't even have that in place. So it just shows that like your goal, your path to that goal probably is going to have to pivot, change, and you're going to learn things and you're going to grow off of it. And also analyzing a campground, that's like a whole different animal. I mean, there's so many different revenue streams, so many different expenses, permits, all these things. And we actually ended up finding on Upwork, which is like a virtual assistant job task board, I guess, where you put, you know, the job description out there of what you need and you can hire someone virtually to complete it. And we actually found someone to do the deep deal analysis. So we would go through like the financial statements and I would run an analysis on it. But then we'd actually have this guy go even further and do like the market research on it and kind of implement that. So that was definitely a learning experience as to, you know, using who, not how, and not taking tons of time to actually build my own Excel spreadsheet. I mean, I think we paid him maybe a couple $100 and he built out this huge, phenomenal Excel spreadsheet for us to use to analyze these type of deals. And but then we did direct mail too. And that's how we actually got the second campground that we got. The LOI was doing a direct mail campaign. So we made sure we wanted two deal sources, and one was brokers. And when you're doing commercial real estate, brokers are a huge resource and really beneficial for you. And then doing direct mail, a lot of campground owners are mom and pop. So I think it was maybe 2 years ago, this statistic came out that 88% of campground owners only owned one campground. So it kind of showed to me that, you know, look at like, it's not these huge syndicators coming in and buying campgrounds yet. Like, I think it's on its way definitely there, but it's still a lot of mom and pops that are owning them, which was a huge attraction to me. So that's what we did. We sent out the direct mail campaign to them. And so that was kind of our action items. Was we made sure to send out 500 mailers, Well, it ends up there's not 500 campgrounds in the area that we were looking for. So that's when we decided to pivot a little bit and say to look at lake houses too, and to kind of add into that mail campaign in the area where we were looking at too. So, but that's kind of the steps we took to actually get it under contract. And we had our different roles and responsibilities. So Daryl was in charge, and that was like defined tune. Like, we want the campground. Here's who's going to do what to get that. And so Daryl would be, his name was on all the mailings, the postcards. And so he was the contact person. He would get all the information from the person, and then I would go behind the scenes and I would go on to PropStream, GIS mapping systems, and I would do like my data research on that. And then he would go, like, we would decide like yes or no, we want to pursue it. And then he would go back to them and he would set up the showing, and we would both go together, tour the campground, get the information. And then we would go into like our deep dive analysis, and I would build up the offer. And then, so the one that we did get under contract and go into due diligence, that's where Daryl came in with like the actual on-site due diligence. And then I did, you know, all the work of due diligence that can be done on the computer, such as pulling the property taxes, getting an insurance quote, things like that. But just how you had said about doing the org chart and kind of defining what the roles were, we had done that for ourselves for that specific goal. Because in our business now, it's mostly doing BRRRs, where it's doing rehabs, and he's the project manager and overseeing that. So actually going after the campgrounds was very different in a sense, I guess, too.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that we both kind of set these goals to go after these larger commercial properties, and both of us failed at that. And I think so often that people look at Ashley and Tony as the, you know, the co-hosts of this big real estate podcast and think that we can do no wrong and that everything just goes right for us all the time. But just like everyone who's listening, we are rookies in that space. Right? Like, you are a rookie in the campground space. I am a rookie in the hotel and motel space. And we're both rookies at raising syndication funds and doing all those things and creating these complex models. So, you know, once you get to a certain point, it's almost like you have to start over again to reach that next level. So I just like to point it out, because, you know, we run into challenges and issues just like every other real estate investor.
Yeah. If you want to purchase a BRRRR property or a long-term rental or even a short-term rental in the rural area of Buffalo, New York, I am your expert. Yeah. Other than that, I am a rookie at all other things.
Sir,
even on the podcast, I still can't form words correctly. So, Tony, let's talk about our new goals going forward for 2023. What are yours? And do you even have them defined and written out yet? I can't say that mine are totally ready.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely, we have it on the calendar for us to kind of get away for a day and a half, really, to plan 2023. So that's coming up here shortly. But I can say I have a good idea of what some of the big themes will be for next year. A big one will be, like I said, purchasing at least one commercial asset. So we do have a goal of buying at least one hotel or motel next year. I think our goal will probably be to target maybe a smaller market. We went into like a big primary vacation destination this first go around. I think next time we're probably going to target maybe a secondary or tertiary vacation market that's maybe not as competitive as where we were this first go around. So that's one big goal for us. We want to continue to build out our team. We need a property launch coordinator that we're looking to hire. So basically someone that flies from city to city to get all of our properties set up. We've kind of been managing that remotely and you know, sharing the responsibilities amongst the team. But you know, if we're setting up two properties a month, like we need someone whose full-time job is to just focus on ordering everything and managing the shipments and getting the design squared away and all those things. So that's a big hire for us going into next year. And then the biggest goal that we have is we want to change the way that we are currently purchasing real estate. So right now, a lot of our deals are kind of one-off partnerships with different investors, but our goal is to probably transition into more of a fund model where we just raise a bunch of money all at once and then deploy that fund or those funds over, you know, 3 to 5 months, buying up a bunch of properties at one time. So I think that's the next iteration of our business, is going from, you know, Alpha Geek Capital that's just this one-off deal to Alpha Geek Capital that's a fund buying multiple deals at once.
I'm glad you mentioned that you guys have a day set aside for you guys, because I didn't want to forget to talk about this, is meeting with your partners and even your guys' significant others and talking about what the goals are for the company as a whole and making sure that you guys are all in alignment, that you're aligned, that you're taking the company in the same direction. Because the worst thing that could happen is Tony could say, like, yes, in 5 years, like, I want to be at, you know, 100 billion. And Omi could say, what do you mean? I thought, like, next year we're going to sell everything. We're just going to live off the money we've made off of it. Like, no, I only want to work one more year, not five more years. And so I think making sure that your goals are aligned with your business partners is super important. So actually, next week, I'm taking my kids to Florida and Daryl's taking his son to Florida, and we are going to use the time to not have to work at all. And we're going to have a nice vacation with the kids, have fun, but we're also going to do it as like our goal setting. So like the airplane rides, or, you know, just hanging out by the pool or whatever. And what we're going to do is we've set kind of like limitations, as we can't talk operations. So nothing that's going on and like the day-to-day now, like what's, you know, problems are or anything like that. It's just going to be what our goals are and what we want, and then how to get there, and kind of planning it out and talking it out through that. Not like, oh, I just got this email, let's do this, or talking about anything that's happening right now in the business, only down the road. So kind of putting that limitation, we'll see how that goes, if that actually works. But I think it's definitely try to do that, is don't talk operations or the day-to-day, because it will just derail you from actually seeing that vision and setting those goals too. Because you want to like set those goals with a clear mind, that there's nothing, you know, impounding that right now.
I mean, that you know, we'll get into the resources here in a bit, but that, I think that's an important thing that a lot of people miss, is that you need some sort of regular cadence to review your goals. Because most people set their goals at the beginning of the year and then they never look at them again. But you need to have some kind of mechanism in your life and in your business to constantly remind yourself of what your goals are. So for me, like my life goals, not my business goals, my personal life goals, like I have them as a screenshot on my iPhone. So like every time I open my phone, I can see what my goals are on a personal side every single day, moment that I pick my phone up. On the business side, every time we meet on a weekly basis, we have our goals listed there as well. We could do a better job of reviewing them. And then we meet quarterly to kind of reset goals for the next quarter, right? So you've got to find that rhythm in your business to circle back on those goals. Otherwise, everyone will forget about them by the time the end of January rolls around.
Yeah, like every Tuesday, we either do a Zoom call, and it's just me and Daryl. We do a Zoom call or we sit down in person, but every Tuesday we do it, like changes the time or whatever. And sometimes it's even like late at night after I do my boot camp call, we do this, but it's helped us so much tremendously implementing this, where that every Tuesday is where we're going through like the weekly agenda. Like, what are we each doing? How did last week go? And that's where we're talking the day-to-day stuff and everything like that. But you're right. Like, there needs to be that separate meeting for your goals and staying on track for that. So like, I think if you're doing that weekly meeting that, you know, just aligning with each other, seeing what each other's doing, taking care of that, you know, you can mention your goals and keep each other accountable. But I think that your operations become such a distraction to actually focusing on your goals, because something in your operations, your day-to-day, is going to seem so much more important or impertinent than something that's farther down the road, and you'll get distracted. So like setting a quarterly meeting or maybe a monthly dinner or something, or even a breakfast meeting where it's just like, okay, here's our goals, where are we at? And then, you know, having those action items to actually track them to see where you are at meeting those goals.
Ash, do you have any other goals you want to highlight for 2023, or should we kind of keep rolling with the resources?
Yeah, I don't think I actually gave any of mine. I just said that. Gonna do the meetings. So goal would be to keep those Tuesday meetings. Yeah. But okay, so for 2023, it's really going to be about building out my systems and processes even farther. So last year, there was definitely a lot of that with the rehab. It's using Monday.com to build out these Monday boards. So this year, I've actually hired a consulting company, and they're going to help me even take my Monday boards to the next level. So this year, I am going to be spending money on other people doing things for me. And this is me. I know how I want things. I just don't want to sit down at my computer and build it out. So that's really been something that's been holding me back, is because I don't want to take the time to sit down and actually do it. It's all in my head. And that's kind of where me and Daryl and even me and Joe like butt heads sometimes, because it's like, I have it all in my head. What do you mean you're not understanding, or you didn't do it this way? Like, so this way it's all drawn out and it's all planned out. Plus I want to hire my own property manager. So I used to have my own, I used to run two property management companies, one for another investor and one for my own properties. Then I gave it all to a third party property management company, and it's just not working out well. So I'm going to be hiring by the end of February, in-house property manager that's going to be running all of this. And so I need to build out my property management systems again. And this is something also that the consulting firm is going to help me. So the consulting firm is going to be doing a lot of work for me, but also they're like, this is holding me accountable to getting it done. So I'm paying them money to do this. And that is motivation for me to follow through with this and get it done, because it would be very easy to just be like, you know what, I'm going to hire my friend who I think would make a good property manager, just because I'm introverted and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to interview people or talk to people or read resumes or anything. So I'm just going to do that because it's easy. Well, I've done that before and that doesn't work out well. So that's part of my new goal, is like, okay, if I want to do something, I need to find the person who can do it. So I'm finding somebody who can hire me, a property manager, train them, and put in the systems and process in place that I want. So that's a big thing right there. And then hire some more key people. Like, I definitely need an assistant. So that's somebody else that they're going to be hiring for me too. And then I don't really have any of my like business goals yet, just because we're going to be doing that together. But one thing I do want to do is when I become the property manager again, I'm self-managing and have this property manager in place, I want to have a better grasp in maximizing my cash flow on my properties. Because with this property management company, I've felt like I have had no control over the expenses and just like the rental income and the amount of time the vacancies are. Like, I'm super excited to see how in 2023 I can, you know, just blow this property management company out of the water by being more efficient and effective with running my own properties again. So that's another big goal.
Well, let's finish up, Ashley, by talking about just like some resources that folks can use, people in the rookie audience can use to help them as they think about setting goals for the next year. I'm going to share, the first thing is, we already talked about cadence, right? I think everyone needs to set some kind of cadence for regularly reviewing their goals. Otherwise, you will lose touch with what those goals are. But the second, I guess, like resource is multiple resources, I guess, or a few books that I would love for all of our rookies to read. So the first book is called Traction by Gino Wickman. And, you know, a lot of investors and business owners that I look up to have recommended this book and preach by the benefits of following its system. So if you guys haven't read Traction, definitely go pick it up. Another fantastic book is called Clockwork. And this book is by Mike Michalowicz. He was a guest on the Real Estate Rookie podcast. He's also the author of Profit First, which I've spoken about a ton. He's also the author of Get Different, which is the book that we had him on the podcast for about marketing. But Mike is just a fantastic entrepreneur. And the book Clockwork works really well with Traction to give you systems and processes to have a goal, but then have the systems in place to continually take action towards those goals. So both those books, I think, were really big for me at the beginning of 2021 to kind of help set me up for success in 2022.
Yeah, the author of Traction also wrote Rocket Fuel, which is also a good one to read too, in addition to that. And then we had talked about Vivid Vision too, by Cameron Harold, that you guys should look into reading. And then The Intention Journal by Brandon Turner, which is on the Bigger Pockets bookstore, I think are all great resources to kind of help you build that momentum. The only thing I will caution you guys about is don't spend so much time focusing on getting your goal perfected and how you're going to reach it that you're actually in analysis paralysis, where you don't actually take action on anything because you're too busy trying to like define your goal or to, you know, figure out how to pivot it or anything like that. So pick your goal, create your action items, and then just start doing it. Just start doing it that next day, that same day, whatever those action items are. So you don't have to wait till January 1st. Start doing it now. Like, propel yourself, get going. And then also think about what type of person you are too. So if you've never taken like a DISC profile or an Enneagram test, and Tony, what's another one that you do? The
Myers-Briggs is another one.
Myers-Briggs, yeah. And find out some information about yourself, because you may actually learn what is the best way for you to actually achieve something. Like, how does your mind work? And, you know, there's people like, I look at James Dehnert and AJ Osborne, where it's just like, get up and work. Like, they don't need to go to mindset retreats. They don't need to do all these different, I guess mindset stuff, because they just get up and work, and that's how their brain is wired and that's what works for them. But then there's other people like Brandon Turner, who talks about like, and even Tyler Madden, where it's a lot of mindset for them, where that actually helps them so much, where if they just went and grinded constantly, they would get burnt out. And so this mindset stuff helps them. So try to figure out different ways that may work better for you. There's also The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. So if you are someone that needs to like that time to like clear your brain to actually like think of things, like The Miracle Morning would be great for you. For me, I found it just like I was wasting time. It did not work well for me. It was basically procrastination from actually getting my work done. And so I could not do that. I've probably tried to do it 3 times. And it was just like, it's not helping me at all. And it was just like, I want to get up and I just want to start my work and do it. And I'm definitely not a grinder as far as AJ and James's level, for sure. Like, I do like to sleep a little bit and, you know, do other things, go on vacation or do whatever. But yeah, so think about that about yourself too, as to what actually works for you, because what works for me, what works for Tony, what works for other people may not work for you. So don't think that you have to follow someone's specific goal setting and achievement lifestyle. Like, there is no perfect recipe. Doing a cold plunge every single day isn't going to make you a millionaire overnight. So make sure that you're just figuring out what are the things that you and your body needs.
Great breakdown, Ashley. I love that. I love that. Well, I think those are all the big like resources I have. We talked about cadence, talked about the books. I guess the last thing I would say, and Ashley, you touched on this a little bit earlier today, but it might be worth reiterating, is as you think about your goals for this next year, don't just think about what you need to do, but also think about who you need to become and who you need to meet or hire to help you achieve those goals. Because I think those are two things that are often overlooked. People just look like, what book do I need to read? What property do I need to buy? What this? But like, if you want to build a business, a massive business, maybe you need to become a better leader, right? Maybe you need to become a better people manager. Or if you don't want to do that, you need to find someone who is a people manager, who can lead people, right? Like Ashley, you said that you didn't want to do rehabs anymore. So you needed to find someone who had the skill set to manage the rehab crews. So as you think about your goals for next year, Also think about the who component around either who do you need to become or who do you need to hire or partner with to help you achieve those goals.
Yeah. And like also look at what you enjoy and what you're good at. Can you make more money doing that more of the time than trying to teach yourself these other skill sets? So like, for example, cleaning my house. It would take me all day Sunday to clean my house. I have a house cleaner that comes in and it takes her about 3.5 to 4 hours. Okay. The money I pay her, I can make in maybe 2 hours, 1 hour, 1 hour probably even. And she does it way faster than I could do it. I would waste a whole day. So I think like looking at that time trade-off, is it, you know, more beneficial to you to go and work so many hours and hire some of those things out you don't like to do or you're not good at? And I think a very easy one is like giving out household chores. Like you can pay, like my friend has somebody come, I think it's a high school student, comes and folds her laundry every week. I mean, she might even come twice a week and she just pays her to do that. And that's like one less thing she has to worry about. And that's more time she has to put into her real estate business. And the same with me for cleaning. If I had to worry about keeping my house clean, then that would take up more time that I have to enjoy my family and I have to work. So like say, you know, I know that I have to work this amount to pay the house cleaner. Okay, that's easy. Let's go ahead and do that. So kind of play out those scenarios and see if your time is actually more beneficial doing what you're good at and what you enjoy. And then it just becomes affordable and easy to hire these things out that you're wasting time at. And it's actually costing you more money because you're not even doing a good job at it.
Love that advice, Ashley. Well, I mean, I feel like we've given our rookies a pretty solid foundation for making this next year a super successful one. Any other final thoughts or ideas from you?
No, I don't think so. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. And we hope that you guys are getting ready to set your goals for 2023. Send us a DM or chime in on the Real Estate Rookie Facebook group or make a comment below if you're watching on YouTube and let us know what your goals are for 2023. We would love to hear them. I'm Ashley at Wealth From Rentals and he's Tony at Tony J. Robinson. And we will be back on Saturday with a rookie reply. The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals. Enter a few details about what and where you want to buy and boom, instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. There's free resources only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.